I want to again ask you for your prayers this morning. I want you to pray that the Lord will liberate his servant today. I want to ask you if you would to turn with me to the second chapter of Revelation. Excuse me. And I'd like to read some verses here in Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 12, and read today about the church in Pergamos. Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." I must stop my reading there with verse 17. I want to use one word today for a title for the message, and that being truth. Truth. I want you to think with me today on the importance of truth. Speak perhaps about the importance of the truth being promoted, being preached, being proclaimed. The importance of the truth being preserved. Preserved for those who may come after us. Something happened to me this week that is not typical at all in our churches. I mean, you just don't hear this type of thing. You can't just, and I think you all understand this, you can't just come to me and tell me what you want to hear preached. It just doesn't work that way. But we had Wednesday night here at prayer meeting, I gave a lesson. And after the lesson, and people were testifying and making comments, and one of our deacons here at church, Brother Strode, he began to testify, and he got all filled up in the Lord. And he made publicly what I thought was a very bold request. He said, "Will you preach that Sunday morning?" And I'll be honest with you, when he said that, I kind of chuckled. And I chuckled and I said, "Well, I can't promise you that." But I didn't even make it down the aisle until that got a hold of me. And so before he left at the back door, I had already changed my answer. I said, Brother Strode, I still can't promise you that, but I will pray about it because the Lord spoke to me about that. And I certainly, this has been on my mind ever since. And I know that the Lord was in him giving that testimony and making that statement. I believe that the problem here, and we can read in the book of Revelation, in these first couple of chapters here especially, first three chapters, how that these churches there in Asia Minor, some of them, they got in big trouble with the Lord. And some of them to the point where the Lord was telling them, listen, if this is not corrected, I'm going to bring drastic judgment upon you because of it. We can read about the church at Ephesus, and the Lord said that to them because he said, you have left your first love. You're doing these other things right. You're doing this and you're doing that, and that's good and that's all well, but you have left your first love. And if you don't repent and do your first works, then I'm going to come quickly and remove the candlestick out of his place. In other words, what I believe he was telling them was, you will cease to be one of my churches. And if I understand right, what the church here at Pergamos, where I have read from, the Lord was warning them because they were not keeping truth. They were not maintaining doctrinal purity. They were allowing things that should not be allowed. And the Lord was very upset with them over that and warned them, very plainly warned them. I have several things that I want to read, and I'm going to go through these rather quickly. And you certainly don't have to turn the pages in your Bible and keep up with this. But it's amazing to me what the Bible tells us. If you study this as a subject, perhaps it's one of the broadest subjects in the Scriptures, what the Bible teaches us about this thing called truth. And I hope today that I want to ask the church here today at Fairview Memorial, I want you to give serious consideration to this thought, because we have a great responsibility to this world. We do. We have a great responsibility. The Lord bestowed upon us great blessings, and with great blessings and great liberties come great responsibilities. And so I want you to think seriously today about how crucial that it really is that we preach the truth, that we uphold the truth. You know, I think that we've got to be willing to do both of those things. I believe we've got to be willing to preach the truth, and when it becomes necessary, we've got to be willing to stand in defense of the truth. I'm going to give you an example before I begin and go through these scriptures. I believe that the Apostle Paul, and I've always had this thought in reading, and that scripture was used this morning in Sunday school there, where Paul was writing to Timothy and talking about how that his time was at hand and he had fought a good fight and finished his course and kept the faith and was looking forward to what's ahead, the crown of righteousness that was laid up for him after this life. But it's obvious in Paul's writings to Timothy that he had a tremendous love for this young preacher. He called Timothy his beloved son in the faith. Timothy was one of Paul's spiritual sons. He wasn't Paul's natural son, but he was one of Paul's spiritual boys, one of his spiritual sons in the ministry. And so Paul addressed him with great terms of endearment when he wrote to him. And he had obviously from the way that he wrote to him in his epistles, had a heart filled with love towards his young preacher, Timothy. But I'm going to tell you something that appears to me in the scriptures, that the Apostle Paul had a greater love for the truth than he had for Timothy. And I believe that that's proven in the scriptures. Because Paul lived in a day when it was very dangerous, and I mean physically dangerous, for you to preach the truth. You and I are not facing that problem right now. I'm standing here before you this morning. Thank God that we have what we have. I'm standing here before you this morning, and I'm not being harassed, and I'm not being beaten, and I'm not being arrested, and I'm at liberty today to preach to you from the Word of God and the convictions of my heart about what I believe it to believe in freedom. Amen? I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it, that we can do that? But Paul lived in a day when you couldn't always do that. And his life was in peril because of that. And he was persecuted many times and finally put to death because of that. And so here this old preacher, when he reaches the point that he is imprisoned for upholding the truth, and he knows it's been made known to him that he's just about to lose his life. I want you to think about this. If you had a child that you dearly, dearly, dearly loved, and you were about to have your head cut off for something that you believed in, would you take a pen and a paper and write to that child and say, listen, you stand for it too? Well, that's what Paul did. He was about to lose his life for upholding the truth. And he writes to this young preacher friend, Timothy, who he dearly loved. And he said, Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So what did he tell him? Timothy, you put your life in danger the way that I have. You go and you preach the word. You uphold the truth no matter what. No matter what. I want to run through some things here. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 4, and what I'm going to say before you is some of this is not the whole verse. I just took part of the verse. But in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, speaking about God, it says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. I want you to remember that. A God of truth. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ speaking about Himself, what did He say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have a God of truth. We have Jesus Christ the Son. I'm talking about the within the Godhead here. We have Jesus the Son saying that I am the truth. If you look in First John chapter 5 verse 6, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, and that's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we have the scriptures telling us that God is truth. He is a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. Everything about the Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead, is truth. All of them are based upon truth. And we go further and we find in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, when Jesus Christ, before he left the world, was praying for his church, not only those that were there with him at that time, but those that would come in future days. He made this request of God. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Amen. And it's settled forever and forever, isn't it? Amen. I used to hear this saying, and I didn't quite agree with it. I understood what was being said, but I used to hear this little saying, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But you know, really, that second part's not necessary, is it? When God says it, that settles it. If you and I, whatever God says, if you or I never believed that it would still be settled, God's word is settled in heaven forever and forever, and it's truth. And so we have God is a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. The Bible says the Spirit is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth because thy word is truth. And then we have the church, that organization that the Lord established when he was here in the world. And what did he say about the church? That it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Lord loves the church. The Bible teaches us that he loved the church to the point that he gave himself for it. I ask everyone Wednesday night, and I'm not trying, you know, many people I'm sure would consider this type of thing a doom and gloom sermon. And I don't mean for it to be like this, but I want us to see the reality of things. And to know that we must safeguard and that we must be extremely careful and that we must, you know, we must see what is among us and keep our eyes open all the time that we might preserve God's truth. And I asked everyone that was here Wednesday night, I asked them to consider this. And I used just a 50-year period, and I said, if you just think, and I thought about Sister Howard's testimony a couple of weeks back where she told us that when she made that request that she, it was for things to continue at the church and to go on. And so I asked everybody to consider 50 years down the road, would you like to be able to think that people would maybe still be passing up and down this road and there would still be a building sitting here and it would say Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church out there and the doors would be open on Sunday morning and people would be coming in to congregate and they might be coming in and you might see similar things that are happening here today because there's going to be a lot of us that are here this morning that won't be in this world 50 years from now. And I'm expecting that I'll be one of them that'll be gone from this world. And so we would like to think of that happening, but listen, if all of that does happen, if this same facility is here, if the doors are open, if people are coming in and out and they're congregating here, if it's still known by the same name as it is today, none of that'll matter if there's no truth, will it? I mean, that won't be worth anything if the truth is not preserved, if the truth is not upheld, if the truth is not still preached. In fact, listen, as far as I'm concerned, if that's not going to be there, then I'd just as soon it all be gone if it's not going to be about the truth. Solomon said, in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. In Psalm 60:4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Folks, listen, we need to get the truth around the neck and never let it go. I mean, grasp it with everything we've got. I believe that's what Solomon was saying there. Buy the truth. I mean, get the truth. And when you get a hold of it, don't you sell it. Don't you let it go. You hold on to the truth with everything you have. Every ounce of energy that you have, whatever it takes, you hold on to the truth. Jesus promised his church. He promised his church that when he left, that he wouldn't leave them alone. That he would not leave them comfortless. He said, I'll send another. I'll send a comforter. He'll come. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he'll come. And you go and you read the 14th and the 15th and the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, and you'll learn a lot about that, about the Lord's promise to his church to send that comforter. And what did he say he would do when he comes? He said when the Holy Spirit, when the comforter has come, he will guide you into what? Into all truth. And I believe that it's obvious to us that the church or the churches, the local bodies, those who are upholding the truth, those churches whom the Lord loves. Friends, listen, we are only valuable to the Lord and we are only precious in His sight as long as we stand for and uphold the truth of God's holy word. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. Amen. That we're the salt of the earth as long as we're doing that. The Bible tells us in Jude verse 3 that we are to earnestly contend, to fight, to strive, to struggle, to hang on to it. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now there's one thing that I want to speak to you about today. And Jesus said in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want to speak to you today about something that we should never do with the truth. And that is that we should never take it for granted. The church here at Fairview Memorial, this church was organized before you know it. If God allows time to go on, it won't be long till the church is 100 years old. And we may look back and we may think about, because of what has been through the years, we may take for granted and we may think that everything will always be like it is now. That it will always be, that she will always be a place where you can come and you can hear the truth, where people can be taught the truth about what they need to do in order to be saved, where they can be taught the truth about what they need to do once they have been saved, about how that they need to serve the Lord and live for the Lord with their lives. Listen, we can assume all of those things, and we can, and I think sometimes that we may even have a difficult time envisioning that it would ever be anywhere, anything other than that. I mean, look, since 1924, that's what's been going on here. And we may have problems envisioning anything else happening. And you know what? To be honest with you, there are have been a lot of good churches through the years that I believe have fallen into that very trap, that had a hard time envisioning it ever being any other way. And now it is another way with many of them. And so if we're going to see things continue in the right direction, if we're going to see the truth here in the years to come, folks, we have the church has a huge responsibility and a huge obligation to every generation that passes through her. And we need to teach our children well the ways of truth. They need to know. They need to know the ways of truth, that it might be passed on. I just recently, I've been with my youngest son, I've been involved in research. We've been searching our family. And it's been so interesting to me because I found out that where I've been going over there in Virginia for the last few years and doing the old historic tour of the churches over there, I just recently found out that's right where my people came from. They lived right there in those counties, right there among those men and women and among those preachers. There's a cemetery over there that has their graves in it, the Walden Cemetery over there in Caroline County, Virginia. Never knew any of that before, just recently learned that. But I in going back through the history, I come from a lineage of Baptists, of old-time Baptist people, and I thank God for what has been passed down. For what has been passed forward to the next generation. I've got a great, great grandfather that's buried over here in Monroe County, Kentucky. Preached the same gospel that I'm trying to preach today. And I'm thankful for the work that he did and what has been passed down to the generations that follow him. Oh, I'm so glad for what we've still got. And if I have great-great-grandchildren one day walking the earth, or even great-great-great-grandchildren or whatever, one day walking the earth, if God allows time to go on, if my body is laying somewhere rotten away in a grave, I'd like to think that they have access to the same thing that I did. That the truth has still been preserved, because I'll tell you what, that's the one constant that has been able throughout the years of time to draw every generation together. The common link, listen, the common link of every generation that's ever lived on the earth is Jesus and His truth. Amen. That will bind hearts together despite that. Listen, that will cross all cultural lines. That'll cross all racial lines. And that'll bind hearts together. The truth, Jesus Christ, the truth, has bound hearts together throughout time. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to see people that lived their lives here on the earth in a lot different circumstances and a lot different situations than what I did. But we had something in common. And our hearts were bound together by God's truth. I could take you to a part of our country right now if you want to go. I could take you to a part of our country where there were old, good, old, sound, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching Baptist churches that were established in the middle to late 1700s, in the infancy of our country, the very early years of our country, that are still standing. They have buildings that are still standing. They have the same name on them that they had back in the 1700s and 1800s. They're still going by the same name on their church. They still have people that come there, and they still congregate, and the truth is gone. It's gone. You know some churches like that? There's some churches like that. You don't have to go where I'm talking about. There's some like that right around here. You know what? Somebody had to let down somewhere, didn't they, in order for that to happen. Somebody had to let down their guard. I believe the Bible teaches us that it is my responsibility as your pastor to preach the truth to you. My responsibility. And if I don't do it, then I'm going to answer to God for not doing it. I am the spiritual watchman as long as I fill the office of pastor here. That's exactly what the scriptures teach us, that we are the spiritual watchman. But I'm going to tell you this, the church is responsible for maintaining truth and purity here. Every one of us have a responsibility in that. And God forbid that we would ever let that slip away from us. I want to read a few verses from the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. And I believe that this is how that we need to resolve to be. Jeremiah chapter 9, the first three verses. Jeremiah was extremely upset about the condition of Israel at this time. And he said, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth." And I want to encourage all of you today, all of us today that make up the body here at Fairview Memorial, that we would be valiant for the truth upon the earth. That we would contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That we would not take for granted that everything will always just be like it is, because if we don't fight the fight, it won't be. It won't be. We have a responsibility to the truth. Don't underestimate the enemy. Don't take for granted that things will always be like they are, because they won't be unless there's some effort put forth. I believe this. And I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to presuppose somebody that's dead, because those brethren have been, and those people have been gone from the earth for a lot of years yet. But you know, I've always felt comfortable in this assumption that those old churches that I was talking about back there in the 1760s and the 1780s and into the 1800s, when God was pouring His Spirit out upon those people and there was such great revival among them, I bet if you would have talked to those people at that time, I'm sure that they assumed that that's the way it was always going to be. That the truth they were preaching was always going to be there. Probably didn't envision a time. And now, it's such a sad situation to me, because you go there and there are still people that attend them, and they are so proud of their heritage. They're so proud that, you know, they go to the church that Lewis Craig established, or some go to the church that John Waller established, or some go where Sister Ronnie and Sister Cassandra's descendant Samuel Harris preached in that area and was such a great, you know, such a renowned Baptist preacher, and they're so proud of those things. But I'll tell you what, listen, those old preachers, I mean, if they knew what was being taught there, they'd roll over in their graves. They weren't hopeful of maintaining a name in the days to come. They wanted the truth to go on. They wanted the truth to be preserved. And that's what we need to do. You and I are going to pass away. We're going to come to the kingdom for a little while, and then our time is going to be done, and we're going to pass away. And I'll tell you one thing. You and I are not nearly as important as the continuance of God's truth. Not nearly. God can get somebody else in a heartbeat. The truth.